A story all about how this city got flipped, turned upside down. So I'd like to take a minute, sit right there, and tell you how we all elected the Chad with good hair. In the Queen City, where his kids were born and raised, on construction sites were where he spent most of his days, moosing up, managing some projects all cool, waiting for the voters to get angry at the pool when a couple of orgs that were up to no good started putting up some billboards in the neighborhood. He ran in one mayoral election and the voters thought of Fougere. They said we gotta elect the Chad with good hair. Well, election night came and the lines grew long, but incumbents didn't sense that there was anything wrong. The voters got restless as they stood in the queue, but when they got into the booth, they knew what to do. When they considered what they wanted from a mayoral role, their pencils started scratching in Baczynski's hole. And when the polls closed down and the votes were in, the people had elected Mayor Hot Tin Tin. And there's tons of fresh faces now at City Hall. And the next damaged weirdo is anyone's call. No Nelson, no Hawkins, no Laurie. What? We've got a pantload of jokes, but we're all out of butt. Well, there's hope for a Bezo or Sickless, I guess. And who knows what a Turnbull might do under stress. The future of council may be hard to see. But we'll be mocking them here. At the QCIB. Oh, yeah, right. Live from bureaucracy's basement to your ears, this is the weekly meeting of the Queen City Improvement Bureau. Blah, 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 blah. Intro, intro, intro. This meeting is now in session.
That was magnificent.
Thank you. I told you, I promised you there would be a follow-up to the first verses.
It was fantastic.
Thank you.
Excellent work. Thank you. You've made my day. I hope you've made the listener's day as well.
I hope so.
Wow. So, yeah, that was a heck of a week, hey?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it has been. We've got a whole new... They've been sworn in. We got a whole new council. There's only two old faces.
Yeah. They were happy-looking faces, though.
Really?
Yeah.
were they like, the same crowd?
Yeah. I went to the swearing-in ceremony, and it was a trip. Like, I think the last time I would have been to one of these things, it wasn't last election, because I didn't really have one because of the pandemic.
Right.
So, they had classical music, and everybody was, like, super-duper happy.
What?
Yeah.
So, was there a sense in the air that something new was afoot?
Oh,
change on the horizon?
Yeah, 100%. It was, like, before we get to the mockery...
Which we, I mean, frankly, we're above that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course. So. Yeah. What do you think this is, Twitter?
No, it's Blue Sky now.
Yeah. It was really, really nice. So it was horrible outside. It was like raining like crazy. This was like the rain before the snowstorm.
Right.
So I think there were like, a few fewer people than you'd expect, but every counselor's families were there. And the mayor's family was there, and it was really sweet.
Oh.
And, seeing, new mayor Chad, there was his wife and his little kids, and everybody was just so joyful. It was really sweet to see. And Chad Baczynski's family were so proud of him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. And it was cool to see... because again, like I don't think there was anything like this 4 years ago. And if it was, I wasn't going out of my house because I didn't want to get the Andromeda straight.
No,
but so there was like they were doing selfies and they had like an official photographer there. Everybody was like getting their photos with the new mayor.
I've seen some of the photos. Yeah.
So it was really sweet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well then.
Yeah.
And how would you characterize some of our brand new counselors?
Well, I'm not sure yet. It's way too early to say. Like, right now, what they're doing is they're basically learning how to do counsel.
Right.
Yeah. And so, that, you know, what they're going to be like as actual, like, politicians, as elected representatives, too soon to say. But I got some stuff to play for you.
Oh, I am looking hella forward to it.
All right. Well, I thought where we would start is I've got a clip here, and it is Chad Bushinsky. So, okay, so how the night went. There was classical music, classical music, classical music. It was actually really good. It was the Regina Symphony Orchestra's chamber players.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a sizable selection of performers. And then all of the counselors came down and got sworn in one at a time. And then they actually had a meeting. But before the meeting, the mayor got to give an address where he, you know, just kind of set the tone of how things are going to go. So I thought I would play Mayor Chad's first address as mayor.
Mayor Bushinsky, having taken the oath of office and your seat along with your new council colleagues, I will now turn the floor over to you to say a few words.
Today marks the beginning of an exciting chapter for our city. Standing here alongside my fellow council members, I'm deeply honored and humbled to serve as your mayor of Regina. To the citizens who have entrusted us with this responsibility, thank you for your faith in us. Your hopes, concerns, and aspirations for Regina are at the heart of why we're here. To my fellow council members, congratulations. Each of us brings unique perspectives and strengths, and I look forward to collaborating with all of you to build a city that is safe, affordable, and positioned for long-term growth and success. Our challenges are real, but our opportunities are even greater. Together with the support of our incredible community, we will face these challenges head-on. Driven by our shared commitment to making Regina the best place to live, work, and raise a family, let's move forward with integrity, vision, and a dedication to serving the people of this great city. Thank you.
All right, so that was Mayor Chad Bushinsky's first address to council.
Wow. Did we play it backwards, look for any hidden messages, any occult?
Well, here, let me see. So, no, nothing.
Okay, good. I'm filled with dark and demonic impulses now, but I'm sure it's coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So he's doing the thing. We've got tons of opportunity and centering collaboration with
the
members of council and with the community.
What about arguing and threatening each other a lot? What do you think of that?
Yeah, so I spoke to some people afterwards, and they were all talking about how, you know, optimistic they are for this. I mean, you just wait. You guys haven't had one disagreement yet.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Those are coming. We know what the deal is.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, the more I have thought about it, the more I feel that a lot of the problems on council can be put down to the way former Mayor Masters ran things.
Yep.
Cheryl Stadnichuk said, mentioned, you know, maybe we can bring back the committee structure and not have like endless meetings. And it struck me that perhaps this was a result of the mayor just wanting to sort of be there to oversee everything.
Yeah.
And perhaps that just was not conducive in the way that she had hoped, obviously, for like a smooth running city council.
Yeah.
I think part of that may be part of a management philosophy that did not go over well.
Yeah, I don't want to like disagree with that because I think there's like a lot right in there.
Yeah, I think there's more to it. Yes,
I think one thing that has been overlooked is how much that change in committees and meetings wasn't just driven by Masters.
Mm-hmm.
Masters definitely wanted to be involved in a lot of decisions, but when the changes were made to going to like alternating executive committee council, every other week, I did actually talk to Jim Nicola about it, and he talked about how they have a much more active council than they've had in the past. And so there used to be, like, say, a public works committee that would handle all questions about roads and water and yada, yada, yada. You'd have, I think it was like 4 councillors on that council, on that committee. There were no members of the community on it. It was strictly like a council committee with some members of staff there, and then that committee would make recommendations and then bring it to council. Fine system, but there was a lot of council in the last 4 years really wanted to dig in, and so when they would, you were essentially like having to do the meeting twice. Your, say your public works meeting was happening twice because, you know, the councillors who weren't on that committee were not trusting the recommendations they were getting from their fellows.
Okay. So when you say that there was a lot right in what I said, you meant that I was actually not right.
No. Because I do think that this was driven, I think you were right in that this was driven by Masters. And I do think there was a lot to her management style and the way that meetings especially were managed. Like, I think things could have moved a lot more zippily. I don't think council meetings had to have the same level of interrogation of issues as executive committee had. Mm. Like, if we're going to, like, bundle public works and finance and everything into the executive committee meetings, why are we doing the meeting? Why are we doing executive twice?
Right.
And that was something that the mayor could have snapped down on. Also, I think, this is where I do disagree with you, I don't think people, I don't think Councillor Tarina Nelson's part in the dysfunctionality of the last 4 years has been given enough attention, except by us, maybe.
Yes.
Right?
I was just going to say.
Like, starting very soon into that last council term, like, she was very clearly a wild card who would fly off the handle, and you would be sitting there and you'd be going, oh my God, did she just say something kind of racist?
Ooh.
Hey, you know, I gotta roll that back. I don't know if that was racist, but I can't believe somebody just said that in public with reporters around.
Oh boy.
And recording devices.
Well, she did have all sorts of ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember the whole Wanderers thing?
Right.
That was...
Happy Wanderers. We don't need to fix homelessness because there's Happy Wanderers.
That's right. The Schmengi brothers.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that there's going to be less of that kind of attitude on the new council.
Because definitely when Nelson was there, and even towards the end when she was flying off the handle less, and like when she would like start leveling accusations at other councillors for like leaking things or claiming that she doesn't respect her fellow councillors, and, you know, some of the like yelling at staff and yelling at her fellow councillors, like even when she wasn't doing that, I think there was like a tension,
right?
Because everybody knew it was coming at some point in this meeting. Sure, we're talking about parking meters, but we know something is going to set Shaw off or Nelson off at some point in the next 2 hours.
I mean, it's pretty natural to go from a discussion about parking meters to accusations of bullying.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember whether the council was bullying administration or administration was bullying council. Like, I don't know. It's just... Yeah.
Well, There was like a series of motions that Councillor Nelson brought forward towards the end. And they were weird because they were submitted in a completely different format than motions have ever been submitted at council. Like, they were, you know, typewritten on, like, well, word processed and submitted on, like, not the usual form that they come in. And these were from Councillor Nelson, and what she wanted to do was... she wanted to appoint a preceptor to sort of, they would watch a meeting and then give counselors like notes.
Yeah.
Like it was a Shakespeare play. Or the other thing was that she wanted to establish some guidelines around like respectful treatment of city administration.
Yes, I remember this.
Now, this was interesting because those motions kept getting kicked from meeting to meeting to meeting, and they never got to them. So I think they got like three, maybe even four council meetings they got skipped over and moved on. So they never got to them. And now this new council is going to have to decide, do we really need these? And so I guess we're going to find out. But hey, there was something that came up on Facebook and has been since deleted.
Ooh.
From Tarina Nelson.
Oh yes, now this you mentioned teased this, and I'm here for it.
Okay, so Tarina Nelson. Okay, so first of all, we're on 91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio. We're the Queen City Improvement Bureau, and this is our city election WTF episode. Okay, so this is from Tarina Nelson. This is from the day before the election, and she talks about, so apparently Just Bins, my favorite website, posted a picture of the mayor after she had traded in her leased vehicle that she gets from the city for a new leased vehicle. They had posted a picture, the car company had posted a picture for the dealership on Facebook, and Just Bins caught this and was like, what's this reckless spending on new cars right before an election? But anyways, I don't know when it, because I couldn't find it. It had already been deleted.
Come on. Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know how recent the picture was. I think it was actually fairly recent, but I don't think it was like 2 days before the election kind of thing. I don't know that. Deleted.
Yeah, leases are up when leases are up. Anyway.
Yeah. So this is Nelson talking about, she talks about that a bit, and then she says, a better example of fiscal recklessness is trying to do every major new capital project at the same time and racking up debt. Maybe we should time our big projects so the people don't have to pay a ton more in taxes to pay off huge loans that will be needed if we go with Sandra's let's do everything today plan. Impulse shopping at its best. Fiscal bleeding is also a result of the current mayor trying to convince us that old real was just fine. The organization that brought us the city that rhymes with fun has cost taxpayers millions and millions of dollars. And the mayor continues to support real's former CEO. The fired board and real, which she was the chair of before she was, the mayor. hang on, no, this got sort of cut off. I had these screenshots sent to me.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so then goes on later on to speak about how the mayor spent taxpayer money and used horrible HR practices to intimidate our amazing city manager. It magically started the day council voted to fire the real board and put our city manager in as the interim chair, partly because the city manager had expressed concerns with real's budget and business practices. Taxpayer money was used to hire an Edmonton firm to do a 360 review of our city manager, which would be used to determine her 2023 performance. Blah, blah, blah. They anonymously the people who were surveyed anonymously filled out the survey and made horrible comments and remarks were shared with council and the city manager. So this was Tarina Nelson basically leveling accusations on Facebook the day before the election, basically laying out how she didn't support the mayor's approach to spending, but also claiming that the mayor was ginning up an HR report to justify getting rid of city manager Nikki Anderson. I have not verified any of this, but this was publicly posted on Facebook, and I have verified from multiple sources
that was there. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, this was sort of standard operating procedure with Councillor Nelson there. I don't know how a mayor's around that.
Yeah, that's tough. You'd think that a sane council would not produce things like that. But this council has actually been off the rails from early days, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Whether it's things that I think were probably justified to some extent, or whether it's things like what Nelson did there, which is just unhinged.
Yeah. So, anyways,
do you think they'll be friends after that?
I don't know. Maybe I hope everybody lands on their feet. But
I'm sure everybody will be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. But so, but we have a new council now. We don't. We aren't going to have that drama, presumably.
Presumably, everything's going to be fine from here on in. Yeah.
Yeah. I grabbed a few more audio clips that we could play.
Wonderful.
There was a scrum after they had like their little mini meeting, where basically all they did is received and filed the report that had the council election results in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mayor Chad Baczynski gave his first presentation, his first scrum with media. And I thought we would play these questions here. He was asked, what's your vision for this, for your time on council? I'll play that now. Oh, and just so you know, crazy room. This is the best audio I could get.
Okay, noisy room.
Noisy room.
You know, I'll say it again, my pillars were around safety and affordability. And ultimately, you know, in 4 years, if we move the needle on that, and hopefully we do, you know, substantially, but really if we move the needle on that, then I see that as a success. You know, there's not one project, one thing. It's really that overall, the sense of community, sense of safety and affordability in our city.
All right, so that was Mayor Chad Baczynski.
Okay, shooing close to his platform.
Yeah.
Safety and affordability.
Yeah. So no surprise there.
Nope.
Safety, affordability.
Right.
But then the next person up was Councillor Mancinelli. I didn't get good audio. Like, I got appalling audio of him. Mancinelli, hard man to record. Got to get the mic in close. Yep. Mine was not. But then, up at the mic, new councillor. Dan Rasevich.
Oh, yeah.
For Ward 1. Yeah, so I thought we would play it. I've got like two little clips.
Okay, let's hear a little bit of Rasevich.
So as a council rookie per se, you can look towards the veterans on council and councillors Akiniak and Mancinelli. Have you had a chance to talk to them about, you know, some of what's been going on the past couple of years and get kind of the ins and outs of council yet?
Not really. I mean, I've chatted with them, but we haven't gone over, I guess, some of those negative moments, you know? I mean, you know, I'm not planning on banning oil and gas companies from advertising. So I don't think we need to go down that road. You know, I think we just, hey, stay in our lanes, what the city is supposed to do. And if there's, obviously, hey, try to look at numbers and try to allocate those dollars and those numbers in the right places.
As a new incoming councillor, what the next 4 years
would
look like?
Well, I guess I've always liked, hey, just like my house, I hope that I spend my money efficiently. I mean, that's what, and then, you know what, when I said transparency, it'd be like, you want to know, if we're going to build an aquatic center, what's that going to cost each taxpayer? Every month, no, a month. Is it going to be $4 a month? You know, so to actually, instead of talking $250 million, potentially what will that cost you? And that's the transparency part, so you can make things sort of palatable or digestible in terms of where money's going. And maybe, like I said prior, if we're spending money on certain other things, maybe those are things we don't really need. Or maybe those are wants. But you know what? We put in things we need.
So that was new councillor for Ward 1, Dan Rasevich.
Ha 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 ha. Yeah. Ha ha ha. Maybe he can get some money for the city through oil and gas advertising.
Yeah, because that's worked out really good for us.
Oh yeah, and maybe what he should do is he should work out how much money that comes to, and then tell us all how much that'll cut, like how much that'll get us a month. Yeah. $4?
Maybe $4.
Maybe $5.
Maybe $2.35.
Maybe. All right. Well,
how many cups of coffee are oil and gas going to offset City Hall for?
Well, it's good.
A month.
Good question.
Yeah.
One tall Americano from Starbucks per month.
Yeah.
Love it.
I am surprised that he would mention he would mention the oil and gas controversy.
Me too.
Like. That was 4 years ago, dude.
Yes.
I think it might be time to get over that one.
Probably.
And I worry, because he mentions that the reason he ran is because he's been complaining about city council, and his wife said it was time for him to, like, if you're going to complain, you may as well step up and run for office. Is that all he's been complaining about?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't like all that oil and gas scorning that that the previous council did.
Yeah. Incidentally, that oil and gas thing, it got so many people upset. That was the thing that spawned Advanced Regina.
I am not surprised.
And so Advanced Regina started because of the oil and gas controversy. They organized the email campaign, and the you know, some counselors found very harassing.
Yeah.
And so that was 4 years ago, and then they lay fallow for 4 years and then came out swinging this election.
Well, I think that's because oil and gas is at the heart of who we are as a people.
As a people?
As a people.
Really?
Yeah, because one day we're going to die, and then our bodies will slowly become oil and gas.
That's a really good point.
And then Advanced Regina, who will by that time be robots with, like, the brains of the directors placed in their cybernetic bodies, will be able to continue to run and dominate the irradiated future.
Yeah. That's why, in my will, I have it down that I want to be pulped.
Yeah.
After I die, so, like, hammer me down into, like, a fine pulp.
Yeah, nice.
And then pour me in between some fissures in shale.
Yeah.
So that can, like, speed up the process of turning me into oil, so I can be fracked a million years from now.
Perfect. That's, you know, future generations salute you.
Frack me.
Yes.
Future generations.
Yeah. You see, I was going to be, I wanted to be turned into a diamond.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe, and how do they do that? Do they, like, throw you into a neutron star for, like, 15 minutes?
Yeah,
neutron star for 15 minutes.
They just agitate, you know, just like a little tumbler. And then and they take me out and polish me, and you know, then sort of cut so I'm looking good, and set me in a nice ring, and I can become like I can sit on the finger of some future oligarch's trophy bride.
Yeah. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has been your stealth innovative revenue tool.
Woo-hoo!
To raise money for the city, I'm going to be pulped.
I'm going to be tumbled around a neutron star.
Yeah, I'm going to become oil. Aiden's going to become jewelry.
Nice.
And on that note, we're going to go to the pre-recorded Innovative Revenue Tools right now. And we're back from Innovative Revenue Tools on the Queen City Improvement Bureau.
What's
in the
us?
Queen City, also known as
Regina. Oh, that's right.
I was trying to come up with something funny, but I failed.
Nope, that's pretty good.
It is pretty funny, actually. If you hadn't been born and raised here.
Yeah, I mean, we could make jokes about it, but I don't think we need to, frankly.
No. All right. More election wrap-up. Jim Nickel had a press conference the morning after the election happened. He was an exhausted Jim Nickel. And my favorite Jim Nickel... He's the city clerk, but he was also returning officer for the election. My favorite Jim Nickel is Spicy Jim Nickel. And he walked into the press conference, and he said, these questions better be easy or we're swapping out the chairs at the press table.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, and then the questions went on and on and on. But some of the news that he delivered the morning after the election was 204,800 eligible voters in the election, but only 53,000 votes were cast. That is an approximate voter turnout of 26%.
Whew.
Which was up 5% over the last election. It did represent 10,000 more voters than last time, but... still not an extraordinary result, especially when up in Saskatoon, which was, by all accounts, a less fun, less interesting, less drama-filled election than ours. They had a 35% voter turnout. I don't know what we're doing wrong down here, but it's something. Jim Nichols' response to that was, am I saying, woo-hoo, we got 26%? good step, but no. It begs the question, what are the other 75% of the population thinking? Which, you know, I'm thinking that too. He also talked about one of the problems that we have with voter turnout is the date of the city election and the provincial election being so close together. He reiterated the point that former Councillor Stadnichuk said during our election show about how the cities, all of the cities in Saskatchewan, made known to the province that they would like to see the dates separated, but the rural municipalities through SARM, Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities, advocated for keeping the dates the way they were, and even though they only represent 20% of the population of the province, the provincial government listened to SARM instead of to SUMA, Saskatchewan Urban Municipalities Association.
Weird.
Which wanted to split the dates. So he pointed out that this is a problem, and it's not just a problem because of voter turnout. Nickel pointed out that when the city election comes around, they usually try to, like, tap people who worked on the provincial election because they have experience in elections. But because these two elections came so close together, they had difficulty recruiting provincial election workers because they were exhausted. They'd already done an election. It's a grueling process. So the city actually wound up with fewer election workers than they wanted. They had some election workers who didn't show up for work on the day. And as a consequence, they were reassigning workers on the fly over the course of Election Day. And this contributed to some of the, like, long lineups that we saw. Some people having to wait, like, you know, after work hours, they were waiting up to 2 hours in some locations.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there was a lot going on there. It wasn't just, you know, not enough people and higher voter turnout. And, you know, you got to say, 20%, 26%. Kind of lame voter turnout.
Yeah, I mean, and this felt like a kind of a momentous election by comparison, and yet still just barely over a quarter of the voting population.
Yeah.
Come on. But imagine what would happen, say, if the voter turnout had been 35%.
Yeah.
Imagine just how overwhelmed the polls would have been.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I don't know how Saskatoon managed, and that could explain why they were so late getting their results in.
Because people actually cared to vote. I think, just imagine that we would have been here for like 6 hours or more.
Yeah.
So we would have run out of material after hour eight.
Yeah.
So it's been running on fumes by then.
The other thing that came up during the Nickel conference, I have an update on that. There were questions about, there were two wards, one and two, where the voter margins were very, very slim between the top two candidates. So Ward 1, Dan Rasevich, beat Joanne Crawford by 30-something votes. I want to say 35. I can't remember off the top of my head. My notes are behind me, and I don't want to turn my chair around.
I understand.
Yeah. In Ward 2, though, George Siklis won by just 27 votes over Bob Hawkins.
Amazing that they don't, that it's such a slim margin does not trigger a recount, but I guess it does not.
Right, so that question came up. Jim Nickel pointed out that candidates can request recounts. They have 10 business days. We are 6 business days past the election, and I checked with city admin today. I sent a message up. They got a message back before the show that there have been no requests for recounts at this point.
So Hawkins is just like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I have better things to do.
Yeah. Well, it looks like he or Joanne Crawford have until Tuesday or Wednesday to request a recount. So it's still up in the air whether that'll happen. The last voter recount was, as Pat Book, who was a guest on the show, pointed out, it was 2012. And that resulted in no change in the vote. So, yeah, I think machine counting is incredibly accurate.
Yeah.
And a hand count is really probably not going to change it by more than one or two votes, which isn't going to be enough to change a result.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Now that we are in the first half of this, of the show, you talked about Tarina Nelson's response on Facebook. I have here Melina Bushin-Longa's response to a comment from a rally around homelessness congratulating Chad Buczynski on being elected mayor.
Okay.
So her response is spicy. And full of olives. I'll say that much. Her response is, congratulations for what? I mean, I think we already know the answer, being elected mayor. Elections was rigged. Anyone owns SGI driver's licenses could simply walk in and vote, 4 exclamation marks. No one was checking anything, 3 exclamation marks. Literally, residents on working visas or student visas and PR could simply walk in and vote. No one checked proof of Canadian citizenship, 3 exclamation marks. Canadian citizenship certificate or passport, 3 exclamation marks. Quote, let's be realistic, we can't freeze taxes. Whoever certifying this election is committing crime against democracy, and 1 exclamation mark. Regina, good luck. Rally Around Homelessness responded to candidate Bushmilonga, or former candidate Bushmilonga. So let me get this straight. You're alleging election fraud. Melina, this is ridiculous. Lots of great candidates didn't have the result they hoped for or worked for tonight. You win some, you lose some. This isn't the way to behave. Redmond O'Hanlon said, Canada had always operated on the honor system for citizenship when it comes to elections. The alternative is disenfranchising a lot of eligible voters. Minimum wage earners and seniors on fixed incomes don't usually have passports. Passports aren't cheap. Melina Bushmilonga is not having any of this. She says to Redmond O'Hanlon, really? They have birth certificates very handy, like a Bible. 3 exclamation marks. That is so BS. We demand recount and check who's eligible here. It's me, it's we, rest of the team who run. Redmond O'Hanlon says, also, the mayoral election wasn't very close. For a recount, you'd have to demonstrate not only illegal voting likely occurred, but that it affected the results. This election had 4 very strong candidates, separated by enough votes to make any illegal voting or discounts non-material. I say to Robin O'Hanlon, prove it. That's just me. Melina responds, sure. But there's one thing everyone needs to know. I was the HR recruiter for Global Company and Protection Services for the Saskatchewan. I hired so many immigrants that saw with my team line up to vote. So this is very much needed to investigate. I had to wait my citizenship years. Just last I had my oath and my certificate of citizenship on time. 3 exclamation marks. Showing your driver's ID is not legit. You have to come up with more information. Thank you for your comment. Rally Around Homelessness responds, that's not how it works here. The only way you're in the system in the first place is if your information is already registered with the chief electoral officer. Our system does that ahead of time, not at the polling station. Like I said, everyone has a SIN number. A SIN number. The social insurance number, really, Rally Around Homelessness. And files taxes. The system knows if you're a PR or temporary worker or citizen. We don't audit citizenship at the polling station. That would be inefficient. And that's all Amen. I have. So that was the controversy. I just wanted to read that because it was kind of unhinged.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I don't think there were a ton of newcomers or temporary foreign workers or students from foreign countries who were voting in this election illegally.
Well, if that's the case, how come Melina and her team saw them line up to vote?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Secondly, if I had to recommend one change to voting, everybody's talking about, should we lower the voting age?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, does it really matter? Like, we have to pick an age,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
When you're 18, presumably you're going to get to vote for decades after that.
Yeah.
But I do think what we should do is we should open up the voting at the municipal level to people who aren't necessarily citizens, but who live in the city, pay taxes in the city, like property taxes in the city, or pay rent that funds property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is no reason why a student who's come to live here for 4 years to get an undergraduate degree shouldn't be allowed to vote in a municipal election because, you know, transit, decisions about transit affect them huge. they should be able to like weigh in on that. People who have moved here for work from another country and are waiting for the permanent resident status, they buy houses. They rent apartments. They're paying into this system, and yet they get no voice. So I think 100%, if that is what happened, Malina Bushenlonga, bravo. Strike one for democracy.
Strong words.
Yeah.
From a Canadian citizen.
Oh, good point. Throw that in my face.
Gotcha there, yeah. Canuck.
We're on 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. We're the Queen City Improvement Bureau.
I'm sharing space here with a Canadian, and I had no idea.
Yeah. Worse. I was born in Ontario. I'm a Laurentian elite.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I've even seen the Laurentians.
Wow, you cultural elite.
Yeah.
You had a Lisgar collegiate. What'd you do? Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, full disclosure, I too am a Canadian.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm a
Canadian. You're even further east than me.
I know. And the further east you go, the more elite you get.
Exactly.
Actually, until you hit the Maritimes, where I'm from, and you're just basically
trash.
Trash. It's trash water. It's just watery Saskatchewan out there.
Yeah, exactly. rally around homelessness.
Yes.
They were in that exchange with Malina Bushenlonga.
They were.
They have actually lodged a complaint with the Saskatchewan Elections Commission and Canadian Elections Canada. They have taken umbrage with Advance Regina and Common Sense Regina. There were rumors during the election that Advance Regina had access to an app that the Conservative Party of Canada and makes available to the Saskatchewan Party of Saskatchewan that gives them access to voters. And, if they took signs and stuff like that during an election. What? If this did happen, this would be a violation of elections law, and it could be considered an in-kind contribution to a campaign if any candidate who became, actually even whether they were elected or not, if they availed themselves of these voter rolls in the process of campaigning, that would be an in-kind contribution that would have to be disclosed. So, Murray Mandrick, this morning, November 21st, in his column titled Ethics Review of Outside Influencers Needed in Saskatchewan's Throne Speech, this is what Murray had to say. The community group Rally Around Homelessness has recently filed formal complaints with Election Saskatchewan and Elections Canada, suggesting Advance Regina violated provisions of both the Provincial and Federal Elections Act by using private voter information in their third-party campaign to unseat defeated Regina Mayor Sandra Masters and at least two councillors. Both the Federal Conservatives and the Sask Party deny anyone within their ranks had any knowledge or involvement, but RAH presented a screenshot from the Canvassing Act SIMS, C-I-M-S, or C2G, showing both the Sask Party and the Conservative Party as live selections. It appears to circumvent both legal and ethical boundaries, the group said in its complaint. It should be evident to everyone that Advance Regina was little more than a front for conservative political business interests, and that the political denials are about as valid as Advance Regina's claim it was grassroots. Worse, the avenues for such influence peddling are getting more sophisticated, which makes this ethics review all that much more crucial. That was Murray Mandrick from the Leader Post commenting on Advance Regina and their meddling in our election.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said, Murray Mandrick.
It was a really good column. I recommend everybody read it. It was interesting how, over the course of the election, every time you put the question to anyone, and people who are on council now, specifically Dan Rasevich, George Siklis, and Clark Bizo, were asked, because they were listed as people Advance Regina gave the stamp of approval to. They were asked if they had any support from Advance Regina, and they declared no. They said, we have not been supported by them, although I know that some candidates who received support in the form of an endorsement from Advance Regina did have conversations with people connected to Advance Regina. So all these candidates who were benefiting from these like tens of thousands of dollars were pouring into our municipal election campaign, and all the people who benefited from that tens of thousands of dollars have said, yeah, no, I had nothing to do with this.
It's just some people doing nice things for some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
Oh.
Like, it boggles the mind that an organization would come here and just start pouring money into an election without anyone they were hoping to get into council that they have discussed things with, made mm-hmm. plans with, communicated with, palled around with, mm-hmm. had lentil soup with, and perhaps a beer.
Mm-hmm. Nom, nom, nom. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though, mm-hmm. that I like about Advanced Regina. They're not trying to ban oil and gas advertising.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. It's always funny. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, comedian Dan Rashevich.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. When asked about third parties, Jim Nickel, after the election, said that the rules are on in-kind donations are ambiguous, and so it's hard to know what kinds of in-kind support count and what needs to be disclosed. He recommended that any candidate who has doubts about, you know, what constitutes a disclosable in-kind donation, they should seek legal advice.
Hmm.
But he also made it sound like it would be incredibly difficult to prove any kind of wrongdoing or even force a disclosure because the rules around it are so ambiguous. So, I don't know. I guess we'll never know.
We will never, ever know.
Never, ever.
Yeah. We lost to the mists of time.
Yeah. Common Sense Regina, too, they had like three people they had targeted. So, Masters, Hawkins, and Mancinelli, and they won on two scores.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true. I still can't quite... I mean, Masters, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
The Hawkins and Mancinelli thing, I find that kind of baffling. I wonder if... I can't help but feel that they kind of picked, like, candidates almost at random. And yeah. we're like... Because, I mean, what if they had picked... What's interesting is that the progressive candidates on council, I mean, you know, it's a Kidniak, for example,
mm-hmm.
Not seemingly untargeted, which makes me think that perhaps Common Sense Regina is just trying to be a chaos agent to some extent.
It made no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the other possibility is that the person who's running it is just, like, listening to the voices in his head. I don't know. But It seemed a baffling choice of candidates to attack.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, should we assume that what actually went on here is that Common Sense Regina was Councillor Sikidniak and Nelson teaming up behind the scenes?
Yes. Yeah,
to drive their adversaries off council.
That's right. As yes, it's definitely at least Sikidniak, aka Mrs. Big, the Invisible Hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's absurd. But,
yeah.
I mean, Zakidniak voted in favor of the oil and gas sponsorship ban, right?
Yeah.
She is the person who's been pushing the entire sustainability framework.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that.
You know?
Wow.
Right.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Remember when Fougere came out in favor of that and then just backpedaled so hard that...
Yeah.
Like, I kind of felt like the wind in my hair and I'm bald from the force of that.
Yeah. He really didn't like that. So she's backed that. She's also like a fan of transit. She's a fan of electric buses. Yep. And, you know, electric buses are one of those things that Advanced Regina wants to kibosh.
Yeah, because why would you want...
But you didn't target the strongest advocate for that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah. I will be curious to see what happens with the pool now, because that was a key election issue. So many candidates ran on, you know, I'm going to kill it if I get a chance.
Yeah.
We have Dan Rasevich, who was supported by Advance Regina, says he doesn't like spending money on anything nice, except he supports the pool, except as you heard in that clip, he's saying, well, maybe we need to talk about how much we're spending on it and how we're communicating that to the public.
Right.
And maybe we should, like, get rid of a lot of things we want to have on top of that. So, so he's in support of the pool, but squishy on all of the spending.
I think the pool's going to happen, I'm pretty sure. Like, it just, you can't ignore it. Like they can keep putting it off, but Lawson is just going to, like, collapse one day.
Yeah.
And there'll be no choice.
But, you know, people who ran against this stuff are going to have to throw some kind of temper tantrum at council, right?
Yes.
Like, they have to, like, appease their voters at this point.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not...
I think, and as always, when politicians run, they make promises. They have a platform, mm-hmm. and then they come up against, especially if they're new politicians, then they come up against the networks and the bureaucracy of power,
and how
things actually work, and then they have to just do. They just have to get on with it and just help run the city.
Yeah.
So, and that might involve buying a new pool. So sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, speaking of bureaucracy, they were happy on swearing-in night.
Oh, ooh, yeah? Oh.
Big smiles.
Oh, there's nothing bureaucrats love more than swearing people in. We know that.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas for them.
Exactly. Yeah. Ooh, what's this under the tree? Oh, it's a new politician who'll tell me what to do. Oh, I love to have my affairs meddled in. More work. Plaw.
Is there like a Dr. Seuss thing that we can do?
I don't know. You seem to be like getting out ahead of that. This is like going to be the council term where everything freaking rhymes.
I think so. I think that's going to be my job for the next 4 years.
Yeah. Introduce every episode with a poem.
I don't know about every episode.
Oh,
maybe. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm hopeful that this is going to be a better council. And I don't know, like the last council, for all its faults, I'm going to miss it.
Me too. I'm sincerely going to miss Bob Hawkins.
Yeah.
I mean, just who supplied the city and this show with some of its greatest moments. I am even going to miss Trina Nelson, whose unhinged rants just were like baffling and very entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss Mole, but, you know, he was never there.
Yeah. So. I've talked about this before, about how when, like, we go into election season, I get a little bit protective of the old council.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, I watch them every week. And it's like I watch City Council as a TV show more than any other TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And, I get invested in the plot lines. I get invested in the characters. And so, like, an election feels a little bit like, you know, the start of a new season, but where there's been like a big cast turnover.
Right, like a time jump.
Yeah, yep. And then all of a sudden you get like the opening credits with the theme music, and it's like a whole bunch of people, you know, who were like, you know, secondary characters at best are all of a sudden promoted to the main cast.
Right.
Well, this...
And then one day an 8-year-old kid shows up on council.
Yeah.
And they pretend like he's always been there.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the talking parrot who's been, like, appointed as city clerk. Out of order! Rack! That's my parrot.
Yeah. Wow, pretty good.
Yeah. But this swearing-in ceremony and this, like, first city council meeting, it felt a little bit like that first episode of a new season, but, like, 9 Ted McGinleys walked out. And they've been elevated to main cast, so... And I'm like, where's Richie? Where's Richie Cunningham? I'm not listening to this new guy.
Yep, they all, you know what happened? They all went up the stairs,
and
they
never came
down again.
Yep. Yeah. Anyways, what are your hopes for the next 4? What do you want to see them get done?
From a purely selfish point of view, I want them to be as crazy as possible, as wild as possible. But I understand they're not all going to be like that. Mm-hmm. I think we've got a couple of ideologues. I know on council. And I think that which could potentially be just disruptive to getting anything productive done.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that they can essentially be ignored.
Yeah.
Yeah. as and just sort of provide a bit of color, but not actually damage things too much.
Yeah.
Those are my hopes. And I hope that, you know, I don't have the highest of hopes for Chapuchinsky, but I think just because he's brand new, so yeah. He's going to have a learning curve, and he's, but as my friend Dustin, texted me, he said, so they elected an actual human, and I'm like, yep. Yeah. So, which is a good thing. And I think actually having somebody who's not just ensconced in sort of the web of, you know, monies in the city is going to be refreshing. And hoping that we see something good come out of it.
Yeah. I do have hope because of what you just said there at the end that... because nobody thought Chad Pashinsky was going to win,
yeah.
I think a lot of the sort of moneyed interest groups, the power usual power players in the city, didn't bother putting their hooks into him.
Yeah.
So now he's a free man, and it'll be interesting to see how he governs. Pat Fiacco, when he came into power, he didn't know a lot about how a city was run, how a meeting was run. He wanted to keep taxes down. He wanted to, you know, increase pride in the city. Didn't have much of an agenda beyond that, from what I'm told. But, you know, he is this city's most popular mayor to this day
In
a lot of parts of the city. So, yep. So here's hoping for Chad. But anyways, should we, I think we're running out of time here. And material.
Yeah, it's not election night. We don't have 7 to 10 hours of material ready for you to go. All right. In that case, I guess I'll move to adjourn. Second the motion.
You know what? I will second that motion.
Excellent. This meeting is adjourned. You have been listening to the Queen City Improvement Bureau on 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Tuned into the community, your hosts are Paul Shen and Aidan Morgan. Music by Guidewire, a.k.a. Ryan Hill. We are broadcast live 7 to 8 p.m. on Thursday. We broadcast Monday afternoon 3 to 4 p.m. You can find us as well as on the radio. Also on our website, queencityib.com, on cjtr.ca, and various other places. I think there's an access channel where we can be found as well. We don't know. We know it's there, though. Coming up next, if there's not music, there'll be the record room. Let's hope. And there's more all on through the night. And that is it. Keep on. Well, you've improved, Regina. Congratulations.